The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, however you're taking us in, we appreciate it. YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. You familiar with Chris Andrews, Kelly?
I've heard of him.
Runs the South Point Sportsbook right behind us, the majestic South Point Hotel Casino here on the tip of the strip. And one of the things that we did a couple weeks ago is we added to Spanky's Bet Bash Sports Gambling Hall of Fame with a couple inductees. In fact, so far inducted, or these are going to be the inductees at Bet Bash in early August. Billy Walters already announced, Lefty Rosenthal, Frank or Lefty Rosenthal, and our buddy Roxy Roxborough were the first three to be announced. And then Chrissy came on a numbers game a couple weeks ago and paid tribute to the next two that will be inducted, Bob Martin, the Babe Ruth of setting lines here in Las Vegas. Only one man made the lines back in the day, and that was Bob Martin. And he also, of course, announced Jackie Gaughan, the father of the of Michael Gaughan, who owns the South Point Hotel Casino, who Chrissy knew. Also announced that will be inducted come Bet Bash 3 in August, Charles Klein McNeil. Today, Chrissy will announce name number seven to be inducted into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. So we look forward to that, and we'll talk about all kinds of sports betting matters with Chrissy when he shows up here in studio a little later on. But first, and oh, by the way, we will also take a look at some NFL trade markets. Where will Dalvin Cook end up? Where will DeAndre Hopkins end up? Dalvin Cook, who apparently is putting the two of them together and saying, you know, it'd be great if both of us ended up on the same team.
Yeah, really not understanding that.
I'm not either.
But okay.
Somewhere DeAndre Hopkins was like,
right. Can you not speak for me, man?
Okay. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in Arizona. You can follow him at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. And always podcasting away. Also does the Bet US show with our buddy Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Mark?
Well, I'm doing great. It's been a fun season. Not just watching the baseball. The baseball's been so fun to watch. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I talk to people who are more casual baseball fans every now and then. And I was talking to a guy yesterday. He's like, gosh, the game's so much funner to watch. I'm really getting into it this year. And I just think it's becoming more popular just in mainstream. And so that's really good to see.
I think you're probably right. I think the let's put it this way. I think the dive has at least ebbed, and I think making the game shorter has had nothing but a positive effect. Literally, not one person, not one human being is like, boy, I really miss the long games. You know, so I think it's been wonderful. We've had great stories, right? Teams like the Orioles, who most people didn't expect to be as good as they are. Teams like the Rangers, who have just had great, you know, almost at the halfway point of the season, great first halves of the season. The Miami Marlins, another example of that. You have the Reds leading now the NL Central with a 9-game winning streak. You have the Giants out of nowhere now with an 8-game winning streak. They've been the best team in baseball. I was talking about these stats yesterday. San Francisco Giants, the best team in baseball since late April and early May, however you want to stack it up. So I ask you about the Reds and the Giants specifically. The Giants, who had an amazing comeback yesterday. They were down 4-0 to the Padres. They chipped away. And then Mike Yastrzemski did his thing multiple times, including the game winner, 3-run blast in extra innings to win it. What's more sustainable, the Giants or the Reds? Would you bet either to win their division right now?
Oh, yes. I would bet the Giants to win their division. I think there's no question that the Giants are far more sustainable than the Reds, just because it's reliable starting pitcher numbers over like decent sample size. And you look at that Giants team, and they're number two in baseball starting pitching by my ratings. And I think that it's not like you have a rating on a guy like even Spencer Strider. You could argue that rating is not as solid as it could be, because these guys, you know, you look at Logan Webb, Alex Cobb, Alex Webb. These guys have been around in the league for a while. So I would trust those numbers a lot more than I would trust the Cincinnati starting pitcher numbers, which are bad. And if you look at from a probability standpoint, I wanted to put this out and make sure I got this in. I've got the Giants to win the division 23.8% of the time. They should be priced at plus 320. I'm looking at Caesars. You can get them at plus 550. I think that's a good one. And I wanted to go over that because I know I've been down on the Giants over the years, and they're your favorite team. They're your favorite team, but the numbers love them right now, comparatively to the market, at least.
Well, you're finally factoring Giants magic into your model, so I appreciate that. I got the Giants at plus 1050 on Saturday after they won that extra innings game, and it was before they won that 15-0 game against the Dodgers. The bullpen, to me, it's the way that the Giants, you know, people can cite other things in their World Series dynasty run of the early 2010s, 2010, 2012, 2014, and you could talk about Lincecum, and you could talk about Bumgarner, and you could talk about the hitters, but really it was the bullpen that was the constant. There were nine Giants, I believe, that won all three World Series. Five of those guys were out of the bullpen, and they stayed as the constant. And this feels that way about this kind of bullpen. Not saying they're winning the championship. I bet them to win the division, nothing more than that. But they're building it the same way, I guess is what I'm saying. So,
and if you talk about like really good analytic numbers, you had mentioned some numbers since May, but I looked at the K minus BB rate. I think that's probably, if you had to have one number that's important, it's that walk percentage minus strikeout percentage. They call it K minus BB, and the Giants are second in baseball at their bullpen, is at least since May 1st. So that's impressive. You got a guy like Duvall closing out. He's 32.7 strikeout percentage his last 150. Taylor Rogers has been impressive too, 33.3% over that same time frame. And then a guy like Luke Jackson at 30% over the last 150 plate appearances. So really good bullpen. And Gil, I don't think you can model this effectively. And as much as I've been modeling baseball over the course of my adult life, it's really hard. And you say, you know, maybe we joke about Giants magic, but maybe there is some analytics, yes, like how you use the analytics and how you use your different pitchers in different situations and how you use the batters in a platoon standpoint. That's hard to model. I think San Francisco is at the top of the league as far as that goes, Gil.
I do too. I would say the Cardinals, the Rays, and the Giants, they're just smarter than all of us. They just really are. They're smarter than any other team. What's the
no doubt. When you bet the Giants, you feel like, hey, if there's a matchup that's advantageous to the Giants, you know, Kapler's going to be able to take advantage of that. Not only did they have the front office, but they actually have the on field. I really trust their on field decisions, and that's super important in today's day and age, Gil.
I do too. What's more disappointing to you then, the Dodgers or the Padres?
The Padres. I mean, the Dodgers are at least still in it. I mean, the Padres, you know, their offensive production is down from a batting average standpoint, down in the lower third of baseball. And I think that, you know, with the payroll they have, you would definitely say that where they stand in the standings is a huge disappointment, Gil.
Okay, let's do our weekly athletics check. When I was here last, they were mired in the doldrums. Then I left. They won, was it 7 in a row that they won? They've lost 5 in a row now again. But they're up to 19 wins. They're 19-55. You had them projected at 51 wins last time we spoke. Where do you have them right now?
I've got them at, good memory, Gil. I've got them at 55.5, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, you could get them 48.5 at Caesars. So that's a huge advantage. That means I got a 95% chance by my numbers to hit that bet over. And, you know, the A's aren't that bad. I mean, you know, they were able to sweep the Rays. So just think about that just from an anecdotal standpoint. But when you crunch the numbers down and I go starting pitching, fielding, bullpen, and offensive talent, and you run it into a Monte Carlo simulation, that's what it comes out with, 55.5 wins. And I think that's pretty good value when you play it over at Caesars, Gil.
Wow, from 48.5 to your projected 55.5. That is quite the edge. 48.5, where is that available, did you say?
Caesars.
Okay.
At least here in Arizona. I don't know if they have different numbers for different states.
I don't know. We just got a swanky new app, though, here in Nevada. Boy, did we.
I'm checking that.
Oh, that's cool.
Swanky new Caesars app. Okay, what did you play today, sir?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and back Strider again. I really like his numbers, and I know he's been hit a little bit hard the last couple days, or the last couple starts out, rather. But you're still looking at a 34.2 strikeout percentage his last 150 plate appearances. That's best in baseball. He actually has a ISO power allowed of 0.134. That's in the 81st percentile. And then you may ask, well, how does he pitch against the Phillies? And, you know, you might want to, as a handicap, to think about this because these guys face each other a lot when they're in division. And he's faced the Phillies 4 times since July 26th of last year. And he's got a 40... 42% strikeout rate to only a 7% walk rate. And, you know, you put that in an ERA, expected ERA, it comes up to 1.89. So he showed some prowess against the Phillies. Of course, I'm not counting the playoff game. This is regular season data, but I think that's pretty impressive, including 13, 10, and 9 strikeouts his last 3 appearances versus the Phillies. And then I'm going to put him in a parlay with Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. I just think the Dodgers, I mean, you know, Kershaw is the best they got, and he has been really good. You look at his last 150 plate appearance strikeout percentage, 30% puts him in the 92nd percentile, good with ISO power. And, you know, this talk about a disappointing team. The Angels have been pretty disappointing to me. They have not been able to solidify the back end of the talk about a bad bullpen. I think they have issues there. I think we get an edge in the bullpen. So if you play the Braves and the Dodgers in a parlay and they both win, it's plus 200, Gil.
All right. And who thought we'd be in 2023 saying that Clayton Kershaw is the best starting pitcher on the LA Dodgers? But here we are. Boy, did they miss Walker Buehler. Boy, did they miss Urias. So you're taking the Dodgers and the Braves in a parlay today at, what is it, plus 200, you said. By the way, the Braves and the Phillies, if it weren't for the Reds and the Giants with 9 and 8 game winning streaks respectively, the Braves and the Phillies would have the longest streaks, both at 6 games. So something's got to give there. Mark Borchardt saying it's the Phillies part that's going to give. So a Braves-Dodgers parlay from him. Thank you, Mark. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Gil. Appreciate it, man.
Mark Borchardt at Base Winner. Hopefully we do a Q2 derivatives next week as we round the bend of 80 games. Coming back with trades next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not, repeat, does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. By the way, Fezzik dying a slow death because Mark Borchardt, again, genius baseball for about 9 to 10 minutes. And then at the end, hey, what are you playing? Parlay. Fezzik's heads explode. His head explodes on this. By the way, I still got to get that segment in here. So we still got to effort the segment where I have Steve Fezzik, Jeff Benson, and Dave Ross all in studio to talk about what wonderful guys they all are in real life and what happens to them when they go on social media. This is a segment I would like to have live in studio.
Man. Dave, poor Dave.
Poor
love
Dave.
So much.
Banned.
Telling you off air, I was giving him so much crap about it. Watching UFC with him a couple weeks ago.
Man. But also, like, by the way, about the A's and the adjusted season win total bet, because he was advocating, Mark was, the over 48.5. He's got him projected at 55.5. You even found 47.5 at Will Hill at Caesars.
Which that's the most interesting development here in Vegas, is now the Caesars-William Hill odds are not the same anymore, because Caesars has 48.5 and Will Hill has 47.5.
Oh, got it. So those are two different. So let's do the quick math here. So 40. So they're 19 and 55. So if you get them at 48.5, they would have to go 30 and 78 the rest of the way.
It's also -115. I guess I should point out.
Okay, that's true. And if you get them at 47.5, they would have to go 29 and 79. I believe I have that correct. That's all they got to do. That's all you got to do.
It was crazy, man. While you were gone, like in that winning streak happening, I'm like, this is bizarre.
Well, it's so funny. When I left, Arias dipped to 378 and the A's started winning games. Then when I got back, it was like right back to normal.
Right back to normal.
Hey, what are you guys talking about? I missed everything. I missed aliens. Oh, one other thing. Like, have you noticed? So all these people I was mentioning, everybody in Las Vegas and everywhere is playing pickleball, right? The entire city of Las Vegas is out there at Sunset Park playing pickleball every night. And remember when you, me, and Matt Brown used to get into these arguments when pickleball was first gaining steam? And he was like, no, guys, you don't understand. Pickleball's with a wiffle ball. And I'm like, that's not the game I see. The game I see is played with an actual, like, tennis ball-looking thing on a short court. That's paddleball. You see now there's, like, a wave of paddleball players. It's starting, yeah. Paddle ball starting to gain some, oh yeah, it's all over TV. I was at Venice Beach this week. I was like, there's my paddle ball people. In Miami, it's paddle ball.
Right, yes. Because
that's
you,
a game.
You and I were,
yes.
Like, we had no idea. You and I were very familiar with that. Pickleball had been picking up in South Florida, even when I was still there, like 7-8 years ago. But it was because it was a better game for older people.
For
to
older
play,
people,
right?
Yes.
Like, it's not really one that I expected was going to blow up rest of country like it has. And do they really play with a wiffle ball?
Well, it's a wiffle-like, yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes, it's you know, a perforated plastic thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Not an actual.
Right. I was like, that's why.
No, but it's a plastic. Yeah, it's, no, it's. Anyway, I'm just saying, paddleball's a better game. Started here. We're ground zero for paddleball resurrection. Okay.
I got to give Matt credit, though, because when he brought that stuff up.
Oh, we thought he was crazy.
Yeah, me and you both looked at him like he had two heads. You were like, you're going out and playing what every day? Like, what are you doing?
He's going around town scamming people. Him and Ben Wilson.
Him and Ben Wilson, yeah.
Awesome. Hey, we'll play you guys this game. All right, so in football, now I teased it. I made a mistake before. I was like, I don't know, I was getting to the end. I was like, trades coming up. No, not trades. We have same markets. Again, next team available, just like we had for Draymond and Dame. We have them for DeAndre Hopkins and for Dalvin Cook. Now, DeAndre Hopkins, he's been out there. The Patriots are now the short shot at even money. So that's a development, because that wasn't always the case. It's the Bills who are now plus 350, and the Chiefs have drifted all the way to 14-1. Remember, the Bills and the Chiefs had been the two short shots in this market. The assumption having been, well, if DeAndre Hopkins has had enough of playing for the Texans and the Cardinals and has gotten to the point in his career where he actually, you know, wants to win something, Bills and Chiefs. Nope. Chiefs 14-1. Bills still plus 350. The Patriots, sure, that's a great fit because the Patriots are always wide out starved.
They have nobody.
But, like, do you really want to go to New England? Is that what you want to do?
I don't. I think that's the part that's tough to read in this, if you were going to bet in this market, right? Like, it's, if we're just looking at, hey, where can I go be a number one wide receiver at?
There you go.
It's the New England Patriots.
It's the Odell Beckham Jr. going to Baltimore thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a number one? Cool.
Yeah, good point. I guess he is.
I guess he is, right?
Be.
De facto? Yeah.
Yeah.
Rashad Bateman and all those guys will have something to say about it, but still.
Right. But, like, no, you're right. I mean, he probably is. Bills Chiefs for DeAndre Hopkins, it's kind of like, it's not that you're not the number one guy, right? But you've got to fit in with what we do here already, right? Like, you're a part of the systems.
Yeah, and we brought this up about Bradley Beal before he went to Phoenix, which is, until we see from Bradley Beal that he really is more interested in winning a championship than just making money, we won't know. You can't assume that about him, right? You're just like, oh, well, he just wants to make $40, $50 million in D.C. and just play out his career.
Right.
And now he's with Phoenix, so he waived the no trade. By the way, he still has the no trade in Phoenix. DeAndre Hopkins, we don't know. We don't know what his motivations are. We assumed, or the market assumed, I should say, that it was, hey, he wants to win football games and win a championship. Well, going to the Patriots ain't that. It just isn't.
I mean, unless you're a big believer in the Patriots, which
no.
I've heard it. I know a couple people that are, which is kind of blowing my mind.
Come on now.
About that team this year. And I mean, hey, you believe in Bill Belichick, right? Like, I mean, that's the other answer, I guess.
Well, okay. Listen, Bill Belichick is on the Mount Rushmore of coaches. But again, he had Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this. He doesn't have him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the assumption that somehow Bill Belichick is that genius enough to win them a championship with this outfit of a team, come on. So, anyway, back to the point, where will DeAndre Hopkins play next? I don't have a feel for it. And if he does end up with the Patriots, I think we learned something about DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Or it's just, no, we learned that being a number one wideout is still more important to them than being, and money is still more important than winning a championship.
Timing's also important. I know we're going to look at Dalvin Cooks here too, but like now that mini camps are kind of over, you're in that space between mini camps and training camps kind of starting up. And like I was listening to reading a couple reports on this where it's, If especially Hopkins, if he doesn't sign in like the next couple days somewhere, he's probably not signing for a little while. Because at that point, you just look, you see what the rest of the market is. Dalvin Cook's a different situation because there's a lot of running backs on the market technically. So I think he's gonna wait for that to develop a little bit more.
Well, Dalvin Cook pairing himself with DeAndre Hopkins oddly yesterday is like, man, it would be great if the two of us ended up on the same team. I don't know if D-Hop was in on that, but where will Dalvin Cook play next? And as Kelly said, you know, this is an era where running backs are kind of a dime a dozen. Yes, there are unicorns, Saquon Barkley raising his hand. But I don't know that Dalvin Cook could be considered that much of an outlier right now. For whatever reason, the Dolphins are the short shot. Plus 125. Broncos 6-1, Jets 7-1, everybody else double digits. Does Dalvin Cook, like if you're a fan of one of these teams or a team that has a bet on any of these teams, Where's the place where you're like, okay, he moves the needle for this team in a way that another running back wouldn't?
Good question. I think that's why you see the teams at the top that you do. Because I think he moves the needle there more than some of these other teams. Like the Dolphins.
But why the Jets?
I think he's a significant upgrade over Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson.
Dolphins and Broncos make sense. I don't know that the Jets or Cowboys necessarily do with Breece Hall and with Pollard.
No, I agree, but we're also in the day and age of you need two running backs, right?
You need two running backs, but then running backs are never ultimately the focus anyway. So, I mean, like, again, who's willing to pony up for a Dalvin Cook? I'm not sure. This is not a market. Like, we talk about markets we'd like to bet into.
Yeah.
This is not one that I would even hazard a guess.
I know the Bills have about 18 running backs on their roster right now, but that one kind of intrigues me, too. And he would literally be playing with his brother.
Commodore's 20-1. I like that. But I bet he doesn't want to play for the Commodes.
The Miami connection, by the way, is he's from Miami. He went to Miami Central High School.
Okay, that's like, right. That's, went to so FSU, right?
Yeah. So it's a coming home story. There you go. Know, all that.
Ergo, the short shot. Can we change the name, by the way, Josh Harris, before you get in there? Can we change the name back to something on the commodes? That's his first order of business. I will just keep saying it. Washington football team is better than this.
Yeah, like that Bills depth chart right now, like running back. They have James Cook, Damian Harris, Latavius Murray, and Naheem Hines all on that team.
Committee. Like, which, by the way, we never get into this, but 5 years ago, we would have gotten into fantasy implications. Fantasy football with running backs must be the worst thing in the world.
I mean, that Bills situation, I can't even imagine.
You can't draft any of them.
Yeah, you can't any of them.
No. I don't love either of those. The Draymond -175 of the four we did, that to me is the best bet of the bunch, for sure. Chrissy Andrews joins us, my mishpucha. Another name in Spanky's Bet Bash Sports Gambling Hall of Fame to be announced next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early, coming out June 29th. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's football week next week here on the network as well. We're calling it football week. What are we calling it, Kelly? Football week. That's what I'm calling it.
Sure. There you go.
Football every show.
Countdown to kickoff.
Not the whole show, but every show's got football in it.
Yes.
Countdown to kickoff.
For 3 months.
I think that's used. Yes. So we look forward to that as well. That chuckle you hear in the background is that of a gentleman who spent the entire break just talking about Greek food. So all of us are unbelievably hungry now.
I got a car.
let's do that. Meraki, here we come. It's Chrissy Andrews, everybody, my mishpucha, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook.
Can I kick it?
With Chrissy.
Can I kick it?
I'm sorry. We apparently do not have editorial control.
Oh, okay.
Yes. These decisions.
Just because it's your show.
No, these decisions are made without consultation.
Okay. Yeah.
Great to see you.
Thank you. Yeah, you too.
You got like a burgundy and gold South Point shirt.
Yeah, I got a South Point shirt.
Feels Washington football teamy. Feels a little FSU.
Oh, really?
Feels a little USC Trojans.
Okay, I'll go for that one.
A little Arizona State. So you are here. We always have you on during football season for Guessing Lines. Obviously, on Monday, we have you off season here on Tuesdays. But for those who missed it a couple weeks ago, Spanky gave us the honor of you getting to announce some of the names that are going to be inducted into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. This is all part of Bet Bash, Bet Bash 3 specifically, which is taking place from August 8th to the 11th. A professional sports betting networking conference, Bet Bash is, Spanky presenting it. And one of the new developments of Bet Bash in this version of Bet Bash 3 is a Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. And I mentioned before the break, six names have already been inducted, including at the very top, we talked about Lefty Rosenthal and Roxy Roxborough among the first few inductees. But you came on here and you were able to give a couple names a couple weeks ago. Bob mm-hmm. Martin, the Babe mm-hmm. Ruth mm-hmm. of all things, the man who generated the line
yeah.
here as well. And by the way, Bob Martin and, of course, last time you inducted.
Who else did I do Jackie Gaughan?
Jackie Gaughan, of course. Yeah, okay. You are here to induct, and so there's six total that we went through. You are here to announce the seventh name that will be inducted come Bet mm-hmm. Bash, and that name, sir, is?
Very special to me, Jack Franzi, my uncle. If you read my first book, Then One Day, he's kind of like the star of the book, and it's dedicated to him. I knew he was, he was in his 90s, not doing well. I wanted to get that book out before he passed away. And he wasn't able to read it himself, but his son, Zach, read the whole thing to him. And he, had a smile on his face the whole time. So he's very important to me. Like I've had a lot of influential people in my career, none more than Jack. I mean, I have some great stories about how I even learned this business, But I remember one of the very first ones is I knew what 11 to 10 was. I can't even tell you how old I was. I mean, I might have been 4 or 5. I knew what 11 to 10 was. And I remember one guy come on and complain, and he says, can you believe this one bookmaker, I got to lay 6 to 5 now instead of 11 to 10. And the guy walks away. And I remember asking my Uncle Jack, what's worse, 6 to 5 or 11 to 10? He says, if you want to win 10 and you're laying 11 to 10, how much is it? Well, 11. If you want to win 10 and it's 6 to 5, how much is it? 12. Which one's worse?
Your fractions came into play.
I couldn't have been more than 6 or 7 when I had that lesson, know.
But explain to folks, Jack, you said he's your uncle Jack that you talked about, obviously your cousin Zach as well. But your uncle Jack, and by the way, your cousin Zach will induct him. At Bet Bash, yes.
I will introduce Jack, and Zach will accept.
Oh, and Zach will accept. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. You tell many an Uncle Jack story in your book,
so
Then One Day.
Yeah.
You basically grew up in his house?
Yeah. Divorce wasn't so popular at that point in time, and he divorced his wife. We're a big Greek family. They all moved in with us. Our house wasn't very big. We had 4 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms, We had 8 of us living there at one time, And how you grow up, you just think, oh, yeah, that's just normal, And then later on,
normal.
It really wasn't that normal. But, I can't remember when I didn't know what Jack did for a living. That's what he did. I got some great stories.
And what did he do? So besides,
he was a bettor. Now, he got indicted for some different things for bookmaking, and he said he was never really like a serious bookmaker. He was a bettor, but you know how it is. Like if I call you up and say, Gil, can you get me a nickel on the Redskins? And you say, yeah. At that point in time, you've become a bookmaker. Mm-hmm. That's just the federal. Definition of it. So he got in, but they beat all those indictments, and that's when he came out. That was 1970, and that's when he came out to Las Vegas. But I have a few minutes here to tell you some of the stories like that Jack told me. Like I guess in high school he kind of was a bookmaker. Do you know that bet, Gil? And I was trying to think about it this morning, where you pick 3 guys to get 4 hits in baseball.
Hmm.
this was a very, you know, this is back in, you
this
know,
is way back.
This is back in the 40s when baseball was the sport, you know. So Jack had it, you know, when he was
three
in high
guys
school.
To get four
and
hits.
He told me, he says, if Ted Williams went 0-for-4, he says, you didn't even have to look at the rest of them. You know, there was no way anybody got it.
This is awesome.
Yeah. So, so this was like the 40s. So he was booking that. And then he had the other one that guys could bet him. Would the winning team score more runs in one inning than the other team scored in the entire game? And
oh, wow.
You know, and he says, well, first of all, you win every shutout.
Yeah.
You win every shutout. He says, and, you know, it wasn't like a slam dunk. I mean, he actually, there was some bookmaking involved. So he had to, you know, he lost occasionally on that. But he said it was a huge moneymaker for him in high school, you know. And
that's awesome that he was doing it in high school.
He was doing it in high school. He was doing it in high school. Then when, so Michael Gaughan hired him. Let me kind of back that story up. When Michael Gaughan started the sports book, he had Jimmy Vaccaro was a dealer, and he went to Jimmy and he said, "You know, do you know anything about running a sports book?" And Jimmy said, "Yeah, he knew Jimmy Bett and stuff like that." He says, "Not really." He goes, "I've been a better." He goes, "Well, good. We can learn together." So they started, and originally Michael was only licensed to book parlay cards, nothing else. And then after a while, like, you know, the parlay cards were a lot of gravy back then.
And this is at what property?
This is at the Royal Inn in early to mid-70s. I'd say 75-ish. Anyway, then he gets licensed to have a full sports book. And that's when he hires Jimmy. But Jimmy tells him, he says, you know, I'm going to need some help getting these numbers. Because when they started out, Jimmy would just go to the Stardust, go to Churchill Downs, right down the line, and they'd come in and open. And Jimmy would say, hey, I need some help just, you know, getting all these numbers up. And he says, I know a guy. He says, Jack Franzen, because we knew the Vaccaros, you know, our whole lives. You know, so Jimmy recommended Jack. So Michael checked with Jackie Gaughan, his dad. And Jackie said, yeah, you can't get anybody better than Jack. That would be perfect. So he hires Jack.
Because Jack had been betting into him?
Because Jack, there's some other funny stories there, too. Anyway, Jack had been betting into him, and so Jackie said, you know, yeah, hire Jack Franzen. So I was about, so I'm trying to think, so I'm born 50, so this is like 75, I'm about 19 years old. First paycheck Jack gets from Michael Gaughan, he calls me up. What the hell is all this stuff that they take out of my paycheck? What is, now...
Kelly still says that today.
Yeah, all of us kind of do. Yeah. So I'm trying to think. So Jack's 28 years older than me. So I'm like 19. So he's, 47? First time he ever got a paycheck in his life. Never had a paycheck.
Just betting for the first 47 years of his life.
Betting, hustling, you know, doing this and that. He calls me up. What the? I thought I was getting, you know, whatever it is, you know, $1,000. But instead, I only got like 700 something. They're taking all this.
What a scam.
Welcome to the working world. I remember that. I mean, he's incredulous that, you know, you have to pay out. I mean, I'm sure he's been paying some sort of income tax. But by the way, I mean, we didn't live in like the rich part of town. But, you know, when Jack was, you know, growing up and we had, I mean, we were in, you know, we had a nice house. We weren't in the slums or anything like that. And we traveled and did stuff. And, you know, we went to Greece. We went to New York. We, you know, I mean, he lived okay, you know, all those years without ever getting a paycheck.
Yeah. It's just so amazing. Again, like the connection from Western Pennsylvania to Las Vegas and however y'all lived right next to each other. And this just developed your lives from there.
Yeah. So we have more stories on the other side of the break.
Absolutely. Jack Franzen. The latest name to be announced that will be inducted in the Bet Bash Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Again, in early August. Tickets available at betbash.co. Coming back with more Jack Franzen stories right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Chrissy Andrews joining us, as he always does, Tuesdays. Kind enough to do so here on A Numbers Game. Kelly was just mentioning off-air that the Blazers and Heat are talking about a trade. But, Kelly, what's the rub on this trade?
So this is a story from Jake Fisher at Yahoo Sports just coming down that there is – he prefaces it with, hey, there's a lot that could still happen, a lot of scenarios that could play out. But he mentions that by their reporting that Portland has been working to get the best pieces around Damian Lillard all summer. That is all they have cared about. And one of the avenues they are exploring is a trade with the Miami Heat that has absolutely nothing to do with Damian Lillard. And it would be for Portland to acquire Bam Adebayo to add alongside Damian Lillard, Jeremy Grant, who they're likely to re-sign.
I'm not sure I get why Miami would do that.
I don't really know if I get why either side would do
it.
I mean, what it would be, so back to Miami, the number three pick, plus Anfernee Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, something like that. Those guys are solid, but are you as sold they're going to be great in 5 years? I don't know that.
Well, we'll get back to you when Dame is involved in a Portland-Miami trade.
Well, I don't see how that helps Miami get, up one more notch,
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't. That I don't. But if you got Damian Lillard, I do.
That's a whole different ball. I think they're a major, major – I mean, they were a major contender last year. I think they become a super major contender in the East, certainly, if they get Lillard, yeah.
So here again, the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, because I want to get more Jack stories in and to get the point where why is he getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. But again, Bet Bash is going to take place August 8th through the 11th. Tickets available at betbash.co. Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, Billy Walters, Roxy, Lefty Rosenthal. That's Roxy Roxborough. Lefty Rosenthal, Bob Martin, Jackie Gaughan, Charles McNeil, who popularized the points spread, already named that they will be inducted in. Jack Franzi, Chrissy's uncle Jack, is the seventh name. There's a nice shot of Jack. How old is he right there, would you say?
I'd say Jack's about 35 there.
Look at him.
In Greece.
Dapper.
Yeah, he's in Greece for sure.
Yeah, Mykonos.
Yeah, we found that picture when at his funeral.
Oh, wow.
I posted that. And somebody, like the newspapers posted this picture. You ever see that picture of me and Jack, like in our cowboy hats? It's kind of like a joke. They posted that in the newspaper.
Ugh.
And the family, where they, I had nothing, I didn't have editorial.
That's right.
Anything,
Before you get on with it, I don't want to let what you said before the break slide or gloss over it. But the three players to get four hits or more. But the other one is one team to score more runs in one inning than the other team scores in their entire game.
Yeah.
I'd love to see those bets. And you made a great point off air, which is when you look at this is how emblazoned in our brains sports betting things are.
Yeah.
To this day, when you look at a box score, a little part of your brain still goes back to that bet. Like, look, that would have won.
I mean, it's hard to say anything's 100%, but I'd say well into the 90s, I look at that thing and that's like the first thing that clicks in my brain,
That's interesting. They scored six in the bottom half of the fifth, and that was enough to beat them for the whole game. Okay, how did he become a Hall of Famer, though?
Well, he made his life, like I said, he never had a paycheck till he was, almost 50 years old. And like I said, we certainly were not in poverty or anything like that. He did fine for himself. But after that, as he became legal under, working for Michael Gaughan, and then he had Jimmy Vaccaro, and then, we used to joke, Jack was like the Northern Dancer of, bookmakers, and for horse racing fans, almost many, many horses today trace back the Northern Dancer, and you can kind of say that in our industry, too. A lot of us, trace back to Jack.
Sired all of you.
Jack, through his son, Zach, who's now on our side of the counter working in Mesquite for the last 7-8 years, something like that. But he was a better for a long time on his own, too. My cousin Art Manteris, me, of course. And then just go through how many guys, came from that branch. You know, and then besides, like, Vinny Maiolo, you know, Johnny Avello.
By the way, it's Maiolio.
Yeah, I finally got it down after 49 years.
Like, you just met him.
I know.
Maliulo.
Are we having a spelling test or a pronunciation test? Because if we do, just give me an F and let's move on.
I love how you can never get it. Maiolio. Maiolio. Leo. Mayo.
Makes me feel better.
Can't it just be Smith or something like that? All these Italians.
I should introduce you to sometime.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Yeah. I've always loved to meet them. Anyway, you go through and, you know, and then just go take the lineage from there, you know, like, you know, all those people that worked at the stations all those years. You know, my cousin Art was at the Hilton, the Superbook, back when it was established. You know, just trace the lineage.
The coaching tree, if you will.
Yeah, and how many of them trace back to Jack, you know, and that's, you know, he's been just he's had a huge influence, you know, on the legal gaming side here in Nevada, besides all the stuff that he did, you know, on his own. And, you know, that's... his legacy.
From both sides of the counter.
Yeah.
Because obviously in the Billy Walters case, it's one side of the counter, right? Yeah. In the Bob Martin case, it's one side of the counter. But like Roxy and Jack are the two giants there, would you say, in terms of both sides of the counter kind of thing?
Yeah, even Roxy, I would say his was mostly on, you know, as a consultant on this side of the counter.
But Roxy was also like, you know, ballpark factor. He was like the first guy to get that.
A lot of, and then he slowly converted it. Now he's back to doing the same he did back in the old days.
That's
you know, mostly with horses and futures and things like that. Not so much day to day.
He wouldn't come on to do season win totals this year with us. You know why?
No.
He had this unbelievable record doing season win totals on a numbers game through the years, but he always vowed, he goes, if I have one bad season, I won't come on. He was like 2-3, wouldn't come on again. I was like, but Roxy, you're like 16-4 or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm sorry, I promise.
He's a quirky guy. He's a quirky guy.
Yeah.
I have some great Roxy stories too, obviously. Some of them are going to be in my new book that I'm working on, funny ones. But Jack, he did just had such a great influence, but he did work both sides of the counter. And back in the day at the Barbary Coast, all the way in the back corner of the coffee shop, that was Jack's booth. And there was a lot of stuff that, and if you got invited to the booth, that was a very special thing. You know, to go and sit with Jack and watch him operate and do some of the things that he was doing. You know, it was very special.
What was the story that sticks out from, we'll wrap it up here in the last 2 minutes, but the story you had when you were a kid, I guess it was you and your cousin Zach sitting with your Uncle Jack and there was a football game on or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
And so, like, this is back in the day, like the local WQED, the public broadcasting station. On Tuesday nights, they would show films of a game, you know, not Michigan and Ohio State, but like Lehigh and Lafayette, or like maybe some, you know, obscure Southern schools and all that. They would obtain the tapes. And I'm using Lehigh and Lafayette because I know they were on quite a bit, but I'm not sure that was the game. But anyway, one of those teams won by exactly 21 points. Now, this was Tuesday. And Jack got, and I can't remember that, but Jack got one of us, let's say me, to lay 21.5 and Zach to take 20.5 on the game for $1. Now that we're like 7, you know. And it was one of those things where, like, I had the Street and Smiths, and I, and like what it spurred Jack, he says, oh, look, they got the wrong date. They had the game being played like on Saturday. Well, it's being played on Tuesday. So he got us. So Zach and I, we'd never miss a game ever. So we're watching the game, and all of a sudden, and like we've been doing this for like a year or 2 years, the tape got cut in the middle of the game, and it jumped. And I said, wait, this isn't live. I run to the paper, and I get the Sunday paper. And wait a second. You know, this game was played Saturday. What did you do on the game? I took 20.5. I laid 21.5. They won, obviously, 42-21. And, you know, and Jack, so he made us pay.
Yeah.
And we go to give him $1. He says, no, when did you start betting even money? No, go get another dime, both of you. It was my man's. $1.10 because you let me pass poster and by 3 days.
Awesome story. This,
yeah, and we, you know, it's a valuable lesson that we learned that day as young, sure young kids.
You were smarter after that day than
we were
before.
Smarter after that day for sure.
Uncle Jack, Jack Frazee, who you got you had lunches with him till he passed away.
It was my assignment every Friday, take him to lunch, which was an honor.
The latest name announced to be inducted into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, Spanky's Bet Bash, coming up in August. Get your tickets, betbash.co. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you, sir.